Good morning, Chapel family, and welcome to worship. For those of you who are visiting us, I'm Pastor Bill. We are a campus ministry at the University of Nebraska, and we have been going through a series called Old Testament Stories that have Christmas and pre-Christmas implications, and this is the last one in that series of stories. And if you want to check out the other series, you can find them by going on our website and looking at past sermons. So let's begin in the name of our great God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we gather as your people. We know that wherever two or three, you are present. And so, Lord, fill our hearts with your word today. Some of us are in our bedrooms and in our living rooms and our kitchens, and we're watching this in the places that make most sense to us. Lord, we pray that you would invade our time and space with hope and encouragement and your presence, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name of our great God, Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, so here is our Old Testament story that has Christmas implications. It's about 1000 BC, and King David is a new king, and he's on a roll. He's just, everything he touches turns to gold. He's listening to God, and God is richly blessing him. There's a string of events. First, he defeats the enemy of the Philistines, and then all of the other surrounding nations, they hear about this great victory, and they're saying to themselves, we need to leave Israel alone because their God is too powerful. And so there's a peace in the land. David makes some really smart political moves. He doesn't seek vengeance on a few guys who could challenge his kingship. Instead, he shows kindness. And what this does is it brings the nation of Israel together. And so now there's a solidarity. He brings the Ark of the Covenant. There's this box that is made of wood but covered with gold. And it's the place where God's presence has been, God's authority has been. And it's a mysterious, kind of a scary little box. But he brings that into Jerusalem. And he's dancing in front of it. He's celebrating the presence of God. And so the presence of God is now being established as something that's secure. So that's what's happening, and there comes a day when David now is in his own palace. He looks out the window, looks down, and he sees this box, but it's in a tent. And he's saying, you know, God, you've been so great for me. I'm living in a palace. You're living in a tent. I need to build you a house, and it's only fitting. And so he asks Nathan, the prophet, what do you think? Is this a good idea? And Nathan's like, you know, everything you do, God's been thumbs up. So just go for it. Build God a house. That night, God comes to Nathan and says, Nathan, go back to David and tell David this. Have I ever asked for a house? Tell David this. Did I ever tell the prophets to build a house? And then Nathan is told, tell David that I'm the one, God says this, I'm the one who brought you, David. You were just a shepherd, and I made you king, and I appointed you this kingship. And I'm not going to ask for a house from you, but I'm going to build a house into you. And that's where we pick up on this story in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. Let me read it. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. This is God speaking. Furthermore, the Lord declares that the Lord will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name. And I will secure his throne forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. David is saying, I want to build a house so that we can get close to God. God is saying, I'm going to build a house out of you so that I can get close to you. Now imagine being a first century Jewish person, hearing the Gospel of Luke for the very first time when this is being read. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee near Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Imagine being a first century Jewish person, hearing the Gospel of Luke for the first time. And all of a sudden you're like, mind is blown. It's like, wait a minute. Now I see it, that this house that God is creating out of David is this Jesus who is to come. And so maybe your mind would be rolling and sort of like, now I understand what Jesus meant in John chapter 2, verse 19, when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." He was talking about his body. Maybe now I understand what Jesus meant in John 14, verse 6, when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me." Now I really get what the Apostle Paul was saying in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." This is what I want you to receive, Chapel of, that when David wanted to build a house for God, God said, "No, I'm going to build a house out of you." David's desire was to try to create a space where people could get close to God. God is saying, "I have so much bigger. I am going to get close to you by coming and becoming one of you." Now imagine what it would be like for us if David actually got his wish. Imagine if David had created a house and the Ark of the Covenant was there and that was where God was. And let's say that this house has withered through all of history and exists to this day. What would it be like for us in our own, what faith would look like? Well, I mean, we'd want to get close to that house. We'd want to get into that house. And there's probably a ton of people who want to do the same thing. So it's probably some sort of a lottery system where you actually get picked. You'd have to save up money and you'd have to fly over to Israel. You'd have your time in the house. But what happens if you don't get picked? And we're just like, you know, God, you know everything. You have power over things. Why year after year after year, I just don't get picked? The highlight of our faith would be having access to this house. We'd go on a pilgrimage. We'd be jealous of others who actually got to go. I could see us by this day and age having cameras in this house, and we could watch, like today, just watching everybody who files through, who gets access to this house. I picture it being really crowded. It's probably really noisy. There's probably a lot of quick going, you know, all right, you get in the house, you got 15 seconds and you keep moving. 4 years ago, Vanita and I went to Jerusalem and we went to some religious sites like his birthplace and where they believe he was buried and all that. And it felt like this. This is how it felt. If David had gotten his way and actually built a building and that was where we meet with God, believe me, the church would figure out a way to make money out of that. We've done that. That's what the church does. But that's not what God had in store. What David's plan would have been is really dissatisfying. Nothing like the real thing. Thank God, as we celebrate Christmas, that David didn't get his way, but that God chose to come near to us by building a house out of David. John is Jesus' best friend, the closest person really to Jesus. And John hit it right when John said this: the Word became human and made his house, made his home among us. The very last words of our Lord and Savior before he ascends into heaven was, "I am with you always." And he wasn't referring just to the disciples, because the next thing he says is, "till the end of age." And that's us. So what does it mean for us to receive the fact that Jesus built his home among us? That means right now you could shut this video off. You could go into a quiet place, your bedroom, turn the door, close the door, sit on your bed, cross your legs, put a pillow on your lap, close your eyes, and you can say, "All right, Lord, here we go. I'm here. Lord, fill this room." And your bedroom would become holy ground. You would have access right to the very heart of Jesus, because Jesus chose to come to you. I got permission from John to tell you all this. Those of you who are freshmen don't know John. He hasn't been with us because of COVID, but John is one of our disciples. He was part of a guy's Bible study last school year, and just a dear friend. He's my age, and he's discipling guys like I'm trying to disciple guys as well. And so about a week ago, I got a text from him. I knew he was getting tests at the Mayo Clinic, and he tells me that he has ALS. And so he told me that he was spending the day with Beth, his wife, in a hotel, just kind of absorbing this devastating news. And the next day, I talked to him, and, "How you doing, John?" And he tells me that he told his children, and he told his grandchildren, and he's told a couple other friends, and I was part of that. And then he said this to me: "I'm not sad in and of myself. I have a tremendous peace that I'm in the Lord and I'm going to be okay." And he said that if the Lord chooses to heal me or the Lord chooses to take me, I'm at peace with this. But he said, "I'm sad for my kids and I'm sad for my grandkids and my friends because they're sad for me. But I'm not actually sad." And when I heard that, what it spoke to me is that Jesus is at home in John's heart. Jesus is at home there. Jesus has built a residency there. Isn't that what we all want for ourselves? Because just like for John and for all of us, the things that we really need the most, we can't find just anywhere. The things that really matter the most only come when Christ is at home in our hearts. And so that's what I hope for you this Christmas. You know, we'll be singing here in a bit, you know, "O Come, Emmanuel." It's a great, great song. Wouldn't it be really, really sad if we sing that song, but we don't actually take the time to let Jesus be at home, to be Emmanuel, God with us? So I want to encourage you over this next week to find times of solitude and quiet and take that seriously. The one thing I know about myself, and I think I know about human nature, is if King David got his way to build a house, and it was really difficult and really expensive and really challenging for us to get close to God, I think a lot of us would be saving up. A lot of us would actually do the hard work of figuring out a way at some point in our life to fly over to Israel and get inside this house. But Jesus makes it so simple and so available and so accessible. And here's what I know about myself. Sometimes the things that are easy and accessible and available are also the most easily ignored. So, chapel family, people of God, church, let's not ignore Jesus wanting to be house for us in Emmanuel. Let's take the time and make that happen. My blessing for you is the words of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. It's really a great depiction of Jesus setting up residency in your life. And it's his prayer for this baby church, and it's my prayer for all of us. Paul says this, "When I think of all of this, namely the gospel, how you are loved in Christ Jesus and forgiven at the cross, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that out of his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ," here it is, great, "then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of the life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That's my blessing for you, chapel family. Have a great week in the Lord. Take care. Goodbye.